Ahab said to Elijah, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" Names, labels, stamps of approval or disapproval. We're bombarded every day by expectations or by criticisms that contend for our attention. In the midst of being named, labeled, and stamped, I pray the Lord be with you. Let's pray. God, our provider, help us, Lord, to receive your word of truth today. Help us to listen to your voice, for we need to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in fourth grade, I convinced, or maybe I wore out my parents so much that they finally signed me up for Pee Wee football. I was pretty thin. I like to call it mean and lean and mean. But after the warm-up run at practice, the coach decided to make me the quarterback. So I don't think it was because I had a great arm or good presence in the pocket, but being chased by kids who were bigger than me made me run. Decided to make me the quarterback, and after I figured out how to move around in all the padding or the armor that they put on me, I ran. I sure did run, and they called me Crazy Legs. I don't know if it was because of my awkward stride or my crazy speed, but Crazy Legs became my name. It defined me. Why else would I run around in the backyard for hours and hours dreaming of touchdowns? It was so much that there was a dirt trail down the middle of our yard because I had to live up to my name. It was Crazy Legs. That's who I was. That name took me all the way to high school. I was a quarterback, track runner. I was doing a pretty good job living up to my name. Then I got in a car accident in high school. I had a traumatic brain injury and I had to stumble around for a little bit. I struggled to walk. I was lucky to be alive. So why would I worry about running again? Well, because I'm Crazy Legs. Or at least I used to be. After falling down in the snow, after my first attempt to run again after my accident, reality hit me in the face. And I began to question whether or not I really was Crazy Legs anymore. There was nothing seemed to be crazy about my legs anymore. Now, well, who had I become? Was I a loser? I certainly wasn't Crazy Legs anymore. Who was I, really? You know, maybe we can relate today to the pressure of expectations or the burden of a label. Maybe it's not football or running, but maybe it's business or a job. And we're expected to climb the ladder of corporate success. But instead, you find yourself climbing the ladder propped up to your house to fix the eaves trough for the third time this year. Successful? Speaking of homes, have you been on Pinterest lately? The color scheme in your kitchen could really use an overhaul. Good homemaker? Maybe you're in ministry. You're expected to raise your support. But it seems like you have to beg for money sometimes instead of having a real job. We're bombarded by names that we just can't live up to. But we're also hit with names that try to take us down. Stinky, loser, still single, conservative, liberal, shorty, special. In the name game, it seems we can't win. But a lot of us still play anyway. We like to play a name game sometimes as individuals and even as a community or a church sometimes. To some, we may be holy rollers. To others, we don't roll holy enough. We're disorganized, too small, too much of this, not enough of that. Maybe some people cringe at having communion every Sunday. Or maybe they ask, how can you plant a church when you have so few members to begin with? That's suicide. Any other names that you can think of? feel free to maybe take three.
A ski.
A ski. Okay.
Lazy.
Uptight.
Yeah, I'm sure you can come up with a lot all day. The labels try to define and confine us. But do they have to? In a world that bombards us with names and labels, today we proclaim that God gives us a better name. We've been preaching a series on otherwise, the otherwise ministries of Elijah and Elisha. In the books of 1 and 2 Kings, it seems like God is doing behind-the-scenes work through Elijah and Elisha in Israel and even beyond Israel. Today we're going to look at the first half of 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm reminded of the teaching series called The Story that a lot of us participated in earlier in the year during the 9 a.m. time. And in that series, they make a distinction between the lower story, the headlines and happenings of this world that we live in, and then God's upper story, the redemptive work that God is doing through people who nevertheless live lives in the lower story. I think it's a helpful framework for us as we think about Elijah. In the lower story, he's a no-name. He's a crazy prophet. He's an outcast. He's a troubler. But in the upper story, he's a big name. I'm sure everyone here has heard of Elijah. Maybe the kids are coloring a picture of him right now. You think about in the transfiguration of Jesus in the Gospels, who's on the mountain with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. To God, Elijah is a big deal. Refusing to be defined by the world's names and labels, Elijah knows that God gives him a better name. Elijah's name, as we've heard in past sermons, Elijah's name means Yahweh is God. In Elijah's context, Israel is straying away from Yahweh, the personal name that God gives himself in the book of Exodus. They're straying away from Yahweh to serve other gods, like Baal, especially, the rain god. So Elijah's name is appropriate for his times. Yahweh, not Baal, is God. In 1 Kings 18, we find that Israel is in the third year of a drought. And Elijah is not making the headlines. Instead, he's a wanted man. Earlier, we heard that Elijah had brought a word of judgment and correction to King Ahab. There will be no rain in the land except by his word. Now, this statement makes sense when we read Deuteronomy 11, 16 and 17, which warns the people that God would withhold the rain from them if they turned from him and were idolatrous and served other gods. So Elijah puts two and two together, and he calls out King Ahab for his sinful leadership. And that makes him a man on the run for 3 years. But during that time, as we heard from Ty, God provides for Elijah in creative and unlikely ways. And during this trying time, Elijah learns lessons about trusting God. I'm sure you have too. Elijah also learns about God's priorities in this time. The Lord directs Elijah to Zarephath, a region far north of Israel, to serve a no-name woman with labels like Gentile and widow. He provides for her in miraculous ways. And that's when the Lord calls Elijah back into the public arena to tell King Ahab that a hard rain is going to come after all, but not because of Baal, but because of Yahweh. Elijah, at this point, is ready to obey. He's been trained to obey the Lord and trust him. Elijah's unhesitant obedience characterizes him as a big name in God's story. He may be a wanted man on the run, but he's otherwise known as one who trusts God and walks with him in obedience. If Elijah were here today after the coming of Jesus Christ, he might sing the hymn, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more." In a world that defines us with names and labels, Elijah exemplifies that God gives us a better name. So up until this point, we've been focusing on Elijah in this sermon, but we see in verse 18 another character. It's a reminder that there's a supporting cast in God's story as well. Obadiah is a member of this supporting cast. I don't think he's the prophet Obadiah later in the Old Testament, but he's a man named Obadiah who just happens to be a servant in Ahab's court. He's a servant of Ahab. But his name, Obadiah, means servant of the Lord. So there's tension there. What is Obadiah's name really? Servant of King Ahab or servant of King Yahweh? You might find yourself in a similar situation. You have competing labels put on you. Barista at Starbucks. Professor or teacher at name brand school. Employee at big name company. But there's also a sense in which we are all servants of the Lord as well. How do we navigate that? In a world that defines us by names and labels, God gives us a better name. Though Obadiah was the servant of King Ahab, his ultimate loyalty was to King Yahweh, his true Lord. The text does not want us to miss the contrast and the glaring differences between Obadiah and Ahab. Obadiah orchestrates a fine case of civil disobedience. He saves and rescues 100 prophets of the Lord from Jezebel's genocide. She was killing off all the prophets of Yahweh. And what a contrast to Ahab. King Ahab would rather save horses and mules than people. Verse 6 brings out this contrast. Ahab and Obadiah divide the land to go and search for the animals. Ahab goes in one direction, and Obadiah, literally and figuratively, goes in another direction. While Obadiah is labeled servant of Ahab, he doesn't let that label confine his service to Yahweh, his true Lord. In a world that confines us with names and labels, God gives us a better name. There's a part that we left out from the reading in 1 Kings 18, is verses 9 through 15. But in this portion, we find that Obadiah is scared to death. Siding with Elijah would show his true colors, and it would enrage his boss, King Ahab. So even though Obadiah is indeed the servant of the Lord, it doesn't exempt him from anxiety in the lower story. Living out of the better names that God gives us can be difficult. In today's reading from Psalm 73, we see that when the psalmist focuses on his circumstances, the names and labels he's struggling with, he gets him down. But when he lifts his eyes to the Lord, when he considers the upper story, what God is doing there, he's renewed in his vision and mission. In a world that confines us with names and labels, God gives us a better name. Obadiah's fear is eventually put to rest when Elijah, Yahweh is God, the wanted man, shows up and confronts King Ahab or presents himself to King Ahab again. Added on to the implicit names that Elijah has been given, outcast, crazy, prophet, man on the run, Ahab adds an explicit name to him, Troubler of Israel. After 3 years, the two finally meet again. Is that you, you troubler of Israel? It's interesting because Obadiah, when he meets Elijah along the road, asks the same question. Is it you, Elijah? But the difference is that Obadiah calls Elijah my Lord, lowercase l, and King Ahab dishonors Elijah by calling him a troubler. Ahab blames Elijah for the drought. But from another perspective, that which we heard, that God promised to withhold rain from the people if they were idolatrous, we see that Ahab's actually the one to blame. It's as if Elijah is saying, right back at you. And then he gives the evidence. You have abandoned the Lord's commandments and followed the Baals, he says. In fact, Elijah is doing what God wants him to. He's being faithful to the message of repentance that he's been entrusted with. And indeed, it hadn't rained for 3 years. Didn't they get the hint? Baal wasn't showing up, the rain god. But instead, Elijah gets blamed, called the troubler. You ever been called the troubler? Should we be called a troubler? In the reading from 2 Corinthians today, we see that we are living witnesses who are trouble to some, but grace to others. So we see that Elijah is being faithful to Israel. And I think some people in Israel noticed that. To some in Israel, Elijah was a faithful, life-giving agent sent by God to bring them back to him. Elijah, I think, sees himself this way, and that's what he lives out of. After all he'd been through, he was confident that God gives him a better name. And so he calls for a showdown between Yahweh and Baal, which we're going to hear about next week. But for now, though the world often misinterprets us with names and labels, God gives us a better name. I had the privilege last night of going to Willow Creek Community Church to see a special needs kids were putting on a show. It's called Overcomer. It was fascinating. And these are kids who have gotten labels and names and stamps all their lives. But last night was one night when we could celebrate them according to the better names that God has given them. It was truly a snapshot of God's kingdom come. So Elijah, he's a no-name in the lower story. A crazy prophet, a troubler. But in the upper story, neither Elijah nor Obadiah let those names and labels define, confine, misinterpret them. Rather, their words and actions flow out of the better name that God had given them. In the gospel reading today, Jesus, the King of Kings, servants of servants, the one to whom Elijah and Obadiah point us, Jesus rejects the names and labels and doubts that he's tempted with. Satan questions Jesus' identity, his authority, and his abilities. But Jesus remains faithful to the better name that God gave him. The road to that better name went through the cross, and it led him to a crown. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians that Jesus has been given the name above all names. As followers of the risen Lord, we pray and live in Jesus' name, in his authority, in his ability. His name does define. In Christ, God says, you're mine. In a world that bombards us with names and labels, God gives us a better name. Today, may we find grace to live in light of this truth. So we have a way that we can pray in response to this. So in the pressure to be blank, names, labels that came to your mind, you can use this as a guide, or you can pray as the Spirit leads you. In the pressure to be blank, center me in you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Let's pray.